Well, good morning, Bridgewater. I don't know how to follow up all of that, all of those comments there. I'll just tell you that I got to move this over here because I am going to walk around a little bit. The skinny jeans thing, that's a bad picture for anybody right now that's thinking that. I hate jeans, all right? I don't hate that you wear jeans. I love that you like jeans and that you wear them. I get picked on because I hardly ever wear them. But I thought that it was uniform, so I had to make Pastor Jeff happy, wear the correct clothes today and everything like that. Next week I'll be back in my leotard, or no, that's not true there either, but that's not what I wear either. But anyway, as you see, Jeff and I like to pick on each other. We like to give each other a little bit of grief. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking after watching that intro, maybe a little bit of, there's no football today, so maybe a little bit of a Rocky binge theme this afternoon at home. Does that sound good to anybody here? No. All right. That's understandable. Very good. All right. And then the other thing is, Jeff, I don't know if you knew this, but I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I don't know where that came from. I'm joking. There you go. But anyway, looking forward to next week. And hey, come back out. I actually have a Super Bowl story for you that involves Bridgewater. Not that Bridgewater was in the Super Bowl, but if I can remember from one week to the next, we'll actually talk about that next week as well. My name is Joel, as Pastor Jeff mentioned. And I had the opportunity of serving as a youth pastor at a church in the area for a number of years. And over the last handful of years, I've had the opportunity to speak at a number of different churches, across our area, and even over the last year, speaking predominantly at one church throughout this whole process here of COVID. And it's a great opportunity. I love the Church of Jesus Christ. And when I go and speak, I want people to know that. I love the Church of Jesus Christ because the church is the hope. You joining together here, we are the hope of the world. Sometimes we think that our hope is found in Washington, D.C. because we're Americans and we think that. And nothing bad about, well, that's a little bad. I'm not saying anything bad about Washington, D.C. It is very important. I like politics. I like paying attention to what's going on there as well. But our hope is not found there. Our hope is not found in the Supreme Court, as important as that may be. Our hope is not found in the political leaders that you may choose, as important as they are. Our hope in this world, our hope in life is found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave his life for the local church. And that's why I love being a part of the local church. I love to come and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ at the local church. And as we start this series, Breakthrough, as we're looking at this series called Breakthrough, it's going to be about each one of us looking to break through. What is that breakthrough that you are looking for in your life? Here at Bridgewater, we believe that everybody has a next step, all right? Whether you are somebody that is just here kicking the tires, my friends have invited me to come to church, they've talked about Jesus a lot, I don't really know, but I like my friends, so I'm going to come with them, or whether it's you're somebody that has been following Christ all of your life, each one of us has a next step. Why? Because none of us have arrived yet. Let us know when you have arrived at that perfection, and we'll be glad to turn the speaking over to you. Is that correct, Pastor Jeff? We'll turn that over. But until then, we each have a next step because we have not arrived. So we want to be a part of that. In this Breakthrough series, it is our desire that that helps push each one of us forward a little bit in life. What is it that we are looking to break through on? For some of us, it may be that we have looked at the difficulties over the last year, right? The difficulties of life, the difficulty of what would be normal for us over the last year, and we're just looking to break through. We thought 2021 was going to be the new year, and we woke up January 1st, and we're like, oh, it's still the same. And now here we are at January 31st, and for some of you that thought, you know what, 2021 is going to be the year that I change my diet, change my finances, change my job, change... You're already at the end of the month, and you're like, I'm just going to have to wait till 2022 now. It's done. This year's as good as done. I got to wait till 2020, right? And that's the way we are. We look, and we want to break through, but something gets a little difficult. Something gets in our way, and all of a sudden, oh, my knee bothers me, or it's cold this morning. I can't get up and go out and work out in the cold, so I'll save that exercise one for, you know, when it starts to warm up above 40 degrees here, you know, June. That's what we'll save that for, right? You guys agree with me on that, don't you? Exactly. But the breakthrough. And as I look at the idea of breakthrough, it's not only important to break through, but it's important, what are we breaking through to? Right? Some of us can determine, you know what, this way of life, this relationship in my life is really going wrong, and I just need to get out of it. I need to be done with it. And what do? We break through and we go right into another bad relationship. Well, if that's the sort of breakthrough that we're looking for, then that's not a good idea. For some of us, it's, I just need to break free from this job only to find out that, it's harder to get a new job than I thought, or this new job isn't as rosy and as good as everybody claimed that it was going to be. In our walk with God, in our Christianity, sometimes it's two steps forward and one and a half steps back. Why? Because we're trying to break free from that sin that grips us. And we're there like, Lord, I want to try, and I just want to achieve, and I just want to get there. You know what, Lord, I have a way of talking that's not appropriate. I talk about other people in a manner that I should not talk about them. And I want to stop that, and I want to break free from it. And then all of a sudden I find out, I got this good piece of juicy information about a pastor that wears skinny jeans. I got to share that, right? I got to talk to other people about that. No, but that's what happens in our lives. And sometimes our Christian walk is just like that. Two steps forward. We get kicked in the butt a little bit. It's one step back. But let's keep moving forward. And as we pursue this idea of breaking through, as we pursue the idea of being individuals that are following Christ, and we are going to be those that break through, we want to be individuals that continue to pursue him with all that we have in our heart and in our life. And hopefully this series can help each one of us to start pursuing and finding victory in a defeated world. And I say a defeated world because we have a Savior that has overcome the world. And he that lives in us is greater than he that is in the world. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, understand this. We have power within us, power that we can tap through the Holy Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to help us march forward in this breakthrough. So as we talk about this idea, as we look at this idea of breaking through and knowing that it's, where is it that we want to get to? What is it that next step that we want to get to? I want to give an example. Just as I was talking about Jeff, as he was talking back and forth a little bit, last week he mentioned that we did some things together as youth pastors, and that was neat. But I was thinking as we were talking about breakthrough, about 4 years, I think it was, I guess close to 5 years ago now. I think it was 2016. Jeff and I were doing some work together at a church in the area, Ross Corners Church in the area. And we were doing that along with another individual. And Jeff had in his mind that, you know what, maybe joining with Bridgewater might not be a bad idea. And when they asked me to come over and help out in this situation or work with them a little bit in this situation, I trumpeted that idea along with Jeff that, you know what, I think Bridgewater is a good way to look. I don't know whether it's the answer, but it is certainly a way to pursue, a way to look. Jeff had realized that he wanted to be a part of a church that was very similar to Bridgewater, and how can we bring that into this organization here? How can Ross Corners at that time become a church that is similar to Bridgewater? And the two of us started promoting the idea. I want to say that in a proper manner, saying, look, let's at least look at this idea. Let's see how it goes. And I would, humanly speaking, I would say it's the work of us, Jeff, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, that really pushed that forward into Ross Corners merging with what was then South Vestal, Bridgewater's South Vestal campus, to become Vestal Bridgewater. And that idea of breakthrough, all right, there wasn't a, ooh, this is going to be sin if you don't do it. Oh, it's going to be sin if you do it. It wasn't anything wrong either way. It was just Jeff and I looking and saying, if we want to pursue the kingdom of God further and faster, we think, it seems to us, teaming with Bridgewater is probably the way to do that. It was a breakthrough moment. And I would like to believe that that is still a breakthrough moment for Bridgewater Church and for Ross Corners Church and what is now Bridgewater Vestal. That is what we are talking about when we talk about breakthrough. Let's break through to something that where we see that God is working and continue to go forward with that. And one of the things we have this morning is we have a great teacher on this. And that great teacher is going to be the Apostle Peter. Because we're going to take a look at some of the words that the Apostle Peter says. But before I even take a look at the words that the Apostle Peter gives to us, I just want to refresh a little bit with who Peter was, who the Apostle Peter was. For some of you, you have certainly heard these stories all your life growing up in church. For others, it may be, hey, that's a good refresher for me, or I need to hear that. Peter was one of the disciples that Jesus, coming along, called and said, Peter, I want you to come and follow me. For about 3 years here on this world, Peter, here on this earth, Peter followed Jesus, and he was devoted to him. As a matter of fact, Peter is the one that was probably one of the leaders of those other 12 disciples. And we'll see that a little bit in the book of Acts. As after Jesus went back, Peter really steps up and becomes one of the prime leaders. But Peter was also an outspoken individual. He was an individual that sometimes was ready to break through to the other side without knowing what was on the other side. You see, sometimes that's some of us. And Peter was so devoted to Christ that on the night that Christ told him, look, I am going to be killed, all right? Christ is letting them know that he is going to die. Peter is the one saying, Lord, I will follow you to the death. And in saying that, it wasn't something he was just saying because, well, that's what we say, you know, when you're with Jesus. You got to say these sort of things. I just say it. No, he said it and he meant it. And not only did he mean it, he was ready to back it up because just a few hours later, when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter grabbed a sword and was ready to take on one of those that were there to arrest him. Peter meant it when he said, Jesus, I will follow you to the death. The problem became things didn't work out the way he thought it was going to work out. He thought there was going to be a fight. He thought there was going to be a battle, and I'm all ready for that. And suddenly when Jesus goes peacefully with those that are arresting him, Peter finds himself outside the area, outside in the courtyard where this mock trial of Christ is going on. And as he's outside in this area, outside where the trial is going on, there's a few people that look at him and say, I know you. You were one of the ones that was with him. Nope, not me. That's somebody else. You got the wrong guy. You got the wrong Peter. That's Peter down the street. Not me. A little bit later, they come back again. Look at him. Yeah, that was you. That was definitely you that was with him. We saw you with him. We've seen you. No. It's not me. And a third time, they come back and say the same thing. And he's so frustrated that Peter, that was ready to die with Christ, now curses. I call it a middle school girl that was there because it says that there was a young girl that came and said, nah, I'm pretty sure it was you, right? Peter, that was all ready. He was ready to pull the sword on those arrested, is now scared of the middle school girl. Woo, don't scare me. It's not me. It's somebody else. And he denies Jesus three times at the very moment when Christ needed him, or at least to the very moment when he would think Christ needed him. And what's he do? He goes away and he weeps bitterly. Christ is crucified. He rises again from the dead. And what happens on the other side of that? He appears to the 12 disciples. And at the end of the Gospel of John, John gives us a little story about what is taking place in their lives. And I'm just going to go through this story, and then we're going to get to the passage that we're looking at. But I want to set this up all because because today we're actually going to be looking in 1 Peter. But when we read 1 Peter, I want us to understand who this Peter was. Do you think that possibly this individual who had denied his Lord and Savior three times prior to him being crucified was ready to face a resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ? How do you think you feel at that moment? You feel about this big, right? Maybe a little, maybe even smaller. You're ready to go and hide behind the closest tree. You're ready to go and hide wherever it is. Lord, I'm not worthy. For 3 years I followed you. For 3 years I listened to you. For 3 years I heard you proclaim about what you were going to do, that you are the Savior. And I believed it. But I bailed. At your greatest moment, at your most difficult moment, I left. I went the other way. Do you think this is a guy that needs a little encouragement? Jesus comes to him, and John actually tells us in John chapter 21, the Gospel of John. John says, look, here's a situation. They're out in the boat fishing. And it's very likely that they may be out in the boat fishing because Peter thinks, I've got to get back to my real business because this thing of following Christ, I'm not worthy of doing it anymore. And Jesus comes and he meets him on the beach and he calls him and says, hey, come on in. And he looks at him and he feeds him. He has breakfast with him there on the beach. It was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had risen from the dead. And at the end of that little breakfast there on the beach with his disciples, he looks at Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. A little bit later, Jesus says, hey, Peter, Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. A little bit later, a third time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was a little hurt when that was said, because it's a third time coming back. He says, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. Jesus tells him, feed my sheep. You see, for the three times that Peter had denied him, Jesus is going to restore Peter. And he wants him to know, Peter, no. I am not finished with you. I am still going to use you. All right? You're not done. I want you to know you are mine. You have been chosen by me, and I am now going to send you forward and quickly from there forward. If we read our New Testament, we see what happens very quickly, just over the next few weeks. As a matter of fact, a few weeks later, Peter is standing in front of a group of thousands of people, and thousands of them put their trust in a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. So this morning, when we take a look, as we are going to, at the book of 1 Peter, I want you to understand that's the individual that we are talking about. Except now we are talking about an individual who is a few decades removed from that time. And not only is a few decades removed from that time, but he is now an individual who has proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ around the then known world, and he has seen lives changed. Why have lives been changed? Because he's great. Well, yeah, he was pretty dynamic at that point. But they were changed because he was proclaiming a resurrected Savior, Jesus who had risen from the dead. And why was he able to proclaim it? Because I knew it. I was there. I looked in. I saw him beaten. I saw him crucified. I'm the one who turned and ran the other way and said, I don't even know who he is. Not aware. No clue. And I'm the one that ran down to his grave when they said that there was nobody there. And I peeked in and I walked in and I saw, there's nothing here. And guess what? He appeared to us later. He showed up to us in an upper room. We were all scared because we were his disciples, and we thought if he had killed them, these people are probably coming for us next. So we're in there scared to death, right? And all of a sudden, Jesus comes in and is among us, and we get to see him. And he's there like, guess what? I had breakfast with him on the beach, and he talks to me about, listen, do you love me? Yes. Are you going to serve me? Yes, I want you to feed my sheep. Okay, I'm going to do that. And now decades later, having done that, he writes a story for us. And I want you, if you have your off-brand device, which is not an Apple product, strange, all right? Or if you have your Bible, or we're just going to have the words up here on the screen, I want you to take a look, because this letter that we call 1 Peter, and he writes it to a group of people, he gives us some insight in 1 Peter 5:12. He's going to give us the idea as to what it is that he is looking at. And that verse is right here for us, all right? I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the grace of God. Stand fast in it. Go back to the story that I just said. Do you think Peter understood a little bit about encouragement? See, my belief is that Peter probably understands about needing encouragement, because after you turn your back on the Savior of the world and say, no, I don't know him, and walk away, you probably need to be encouraged in your spiritual walk, because, as I said, you feel about that big. And Peter had been encouraged, and he had now been, as a matter of fact, how many of us know somebody named Peter? Right? You know somebody named Peter. How many of us have heard of St. Peter's Basilica, right? In Rome. The most famous church in the world, right? The most famous church building in the world. People go all around the world, from all around the world, go to visit it. St. Peter's. No, Peter, you felt this small. Guess what? God, Christ restored you to serving him. I think Peter probably knew a little bit about encouraging. I have written briefly, encouraging you. The book of 1 Peter, he is going to encourage us in our lives. Why? Because Peter needed a breakthrough moment in his life. And let me help you out. Jesus Christ came to him, and he encouraged him. He's going to go on, and he's going to testify that this is the grace of God. You see, not only was Peter encouraged by Christ, but he had been a recipient of the grace of God. Do you feel like there's something that you've done that is beyond the reach of God's grace in your life? Did you decide to say, no, Lord, I don't know you on the night of your crucifixion? Not only once, but three times. You see, you and I, we stumble and we fall, but there is the grace of God that is available to us. And finally, one of the things that Peter wants us to know is he wants us to stand fast in it. Peter also knew about that. Standing fast in the grace. Standing fast in the power. Standing fast in the encouraging words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How did he know about standing fast in it? Because all of a sudden, his life had been changed and he had seen the power of God over these number of decades leading him forward to where he is writing this book. Probably about 30 years later as he writes this letter. So as we look at this, we're going to just look back. We're going to start right with verse 1 of chapter 1. And that's what this says right here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect. And I want you to catch that word here just for a minute. It's to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. All right? So what is he writing to? He's writing to a group of people that are scattered right there across what we would call the Asia Minor area, but it's going to be north of Israel and yet heading over towards Rome and just the north area right along there where Christianity had started to spread in the then known world. Why? Because they had been persecuted down in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden all the believers that were in Jerusalem in the early parts of the book of Acts are scattered around the then known world. And as they continue to go out, God's elect, all right, that are scattered, they end up in all these different provinces across the Roman Empire there. And from there, he says these words here, who have been chosen, all right? Not only were they God's elect, but they were individuals who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. One of the things that I want each one of us to realize in here is we are pursuing a breakthrough in our lives. As you are pursuing that breakthrough in my walk with Christ, and again, going back to the idea that each one of us has a next step, so wherever that step may be, as we are moving towards that breakthrough in our walk with Jesus Christ, you need to know if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are elect, you are chosen. That is what we are as individuals. You have been chosen. I have been chosen. All right? If you are a believer, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that is your situation today. And I want to try to explain this a little bit here because there's a lot of things that we think about chosen, right? And I brought a handful of my friends along with me today because I heard the speaker might be boring, so I thought I might need a snack. Don't laugh. I heard that from over there. But I brought some of my favorite friends. And you see, when we go to choose something, we think of choosing in a certain manner, right? Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Why would we choose this one? Well, because they go together well, right? So we want to have a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup because they choose together. Well, maybe God chooses. Maybe he looks down and he thinks, payday. My church needs money. I got to look around and I've got to choose. Oh, there he is. I need to choose that person right there. Why? Because they make a lot of money and the church needs money. So I'm going to choose that person, right? That's the way God looks down and makes his choices there, right? God also makes choices. And if Butterfinger, some of us know that's us. And God just says, well, we need a few of these people along just to keep the rest of us humble, right? And he puts those on board there, you know, and then we choose a few Snickers. Why? Because Snickers, that's the hardworking person's candy bar, right? So God looks down and he chooses them. He needs some of that. And then he looks down and he chooses Milky Way. I view Milky Way as the Aaron candy bar. Why? Because, you know, it's creative and a little bit, you know, right there. Nothing, you know what I like? So pick on Aaron, we get laughs here. That's a good thing. Okay. All right, I can build that in. Aaron and I have a long history of picking on each other as well. If you want to have fun with Aaron, he's the whole problem with the whole gene thing. Talk to him about his YouTube channel sometimes, right? At some time. But let's see, maybe God looks down and you're just the Hershey's milk chocolate, right? That's just plain, but it's good, and God says, you know what, you want that? There we go. Kit Kat, just because it's there, and Almond Joy, because we need joy, because we're in church, right? There you go. What's your choice? What do you look at? What do you choose? None of them? All of them. Who has a choice of one that they like the best? Who's got their choice? What's your favorite one? You like the Almond Joy. There, that just so you know, that one was just bumped out of the second service now. It's no good. Were you about to say what your favorite one is as well? No? Reese's. There we go. See why? There we go. All right. Reese's there. Anybody else up here front? Do we have a favorite? What's our favorite? Hershey's. See, there you go. Who knew? See, when you're speaking at a church, it's always best to give out candy, because that way, even when you stink, at least you have a handful of people to say, gave me candy, it wasn't all that bad, right? Now listen, I got to save some of these for the second service people, but I need somebody that likes Kit Kat. Who likes it? Oh, yeah, there you go. We like. By the way, there's benefits to sitting up front, right? There you go. The rest of you in the back, you're like, oh, jerk, we didn't like you anyway. Anyway, we're not coming back next week. Huh, take that. You can like those front seat people. That's all that'll be here next week. There you go. They're coming. That's what she just said up here. They're going to the back. You're getting moved to the front. I said all that, and I have no idea what I was talking about now, so have a great week. No. If you laugh, I'll just keep doing that. It's not good, all right? What's my point? You see, for us, all right, when we look out, we choose based on what it is that I want. When I pick a candy bar, that's just something a little bit fun that we talk about, right? We go and we pick out the candy bar according to what we want. And we sometimes think that's how God, when we talk about I am chosen, that's how God came about the process of choosing. He looked down through his telescope of time and he saw, oh yeah, there's Joel. He's going to be funny for people to look at and laugh at. I might as well take him. It'll bring a couple of jokes there, okay? Not good jokes, but jokes. There's this guy over there. Oh, he's got a good job. I want him for that payday, right? There's somebody that's like the Reese's. They work together well with others. Oh, I need the Snickers because they work hard. And we somehow think that God looked down through his telescope of time and saw you there and said, well, I see how good of a life they're living. In some of our religion, we build upon that. We think, if I just live good enough, if I just do well enough, if I just do actually for some of us it's even, if I just do a number of good things that will outweigh my bad things, it's kind of like a scale. And as long as the scale's tipping just a little bit more towards good, God's going to choose me. That's not the way it is. And Peter understood that. Because you see, Peter was just a fisherman working by the Sea of Galilee one day when Jesus came along and he said, hey, you guys are going to come follow me. No reason for them to be chosen. It's not that Jesus was in need of fishermen, all right? It wasn't that Jesus was hungry. You know, he had that whole food thing worked out where he could really make a lot of food out of very little. So it wasn't that he needed fishermen because he's there like worried about his next meal. He was choosing individuals. And God didn't look down through the annals of time and see us and say, well, I'm going to choose them because they're going to work out really well for me. He looked down through the annals. He looked through in his own foreknowledge, and he chose you, and he chose me. And if you were a follower of Jesus Christ, you were chosen because he loved you and because he chose to. Not for any other reason. You see, Paul the Apostle told us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't that there was something good in us that he saw and said, oh yeah, I'm going to take that person. No, he chose us to be his. Why? For no other reason than his love. Not only are we chosen, but the next verses go on to let us know as we continue on with Peter here as he's talking. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right? Those were all things that Peter was aware of. Why? Because he had seen the resurrection. He had seen Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And he goes on from there into verse 4. And as he goes to verse 4, he says, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. All right, that inheritance is there and it's ready for us. And as he continues on in this passage, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, not only am I chosen, this world is not my home, but rather heaven is my home. We can get awful comfortable in this world, right? We have things around us that we like, that we enjoy, and things around us that we desire to have, and we're like, hey, just a little bit more, I'll be able to get this. Just a few more cold winters up here, and I'll finally be able to get to Florida where it's warm and the sun shines, and whatever the case may be. But we need to be reminded that heaven is our home. And Peter was reminded of these very things, that he was chosen. He was reminded that heaven is his home. And as he continued on in this passage of Scripture, and as he goes on with the next verse there, he says, in all this, you will greatly rejoice. And as he goes forward with that, into verse 6 right there. There it is right there. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. You see, Peter continues on and he continues talking to the individuals that he is talking to. Why? Because they need encouragement. They need to be lifted up in their lives. And as he continues this idea right here with verse 7, he says, these have come. Why have these come? These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith. That faith that we have is of greater worth than gold. You see, gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You see, in our lives, as he continues to speak through this, though you have not seen him, and he's talking to each one of us when he says that, though you have not seen him. Peter is there. I have seen him. I literally was there. I was part of it. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You see, the God who transforms our present situation, the God who is able to transform this present situation as he did with our past conditions. You see, God is able to look back. He's able to see what you were, and he is able to take us, and he is able to transform us into what it is that he is able to use. And he did that incredibly well with Peter. So why is Peter going to write about this? Why is Peter going to be the one that's going to proclaim this? Because he realizes that God is not done with us. God is not done with you. He is not done with me. Peter followed Christ while he was on this earth and wanted to serve and wanted to follow him, and as I said at the beginning, was willing to die for him, and he meant it with all of his heart. Later in his life, Peter would die, all right? And as a matter of fact, when Peter died, tradition would tell us that he was going to be crucified. And when they told him that he was going to be crucified, he said that he was not worthy to be crucified in the same manner of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he was crucified upside down instead. That is what tradition would tell us about Peter. You see, he did go the path of saying, Lord, I will die for you. And he meant it. But that in-between part there, that in-between part was the part where he realized he was chosen. That in-between part was the part where he realized that heaven was his home. That in-between part was the part where he realized that God was not done with him. How are we doing in our life? Right? How are each one of us doing in our lives? You see, for Peter, he had come to the point of his life where he knew that he had been chosen. And guess what? He had seen his Savior crucified, beaten, put in the tomb, and he'd seen him raised again. Guess what that meant to him? He realized that there was a home that was not here for him anymore, but there was a home that was beyond us. So guess what? Beat me as he was. Throw me in jail as he was. Make me go into exile as he had to do, to stay hidden from the powers that be because they wanted them to stop proclaiming the name of Jesus. Do whatever you like to me. Why? Because I know that I am chosen. Why? Because I know that heaven is my home. And why? Because, God, I know that you are not done with me yet. As we pursue this idea of breaking through in our lives, as you desire to break through in your life, know this. You are here for a purpose. You are chosen by God. Heaven is your home, and God is not done with you yet. So as we pursue this idea of breakthrough over the next few weeks, no matter whether it's the hurt, no matter whether it's the pain, no whether it's the anxiety, whatever it may be that's attacking and beating at you, we have a Savior who is at work in our lives because he has chosen us to do what it is that he would have us to do. Be encouraged in your life. I would encourage you this morning, if you are here, whatever that area is that you're there, like, you know what? I struggle in this area. I would encourage you as we sing our closing song that you would turn that over to God and say, God, help me this week through the help of the Apostle Peter and the words of Peter to realize that I am yours and that I will continue to move forward. If you're here this morning, you're one of those individuals that might just be kicking the tires and you want to know more about putting your faith and trust in Christ, I would encourage you at the end of this service to come. Find myself, find Pastor Jeff, find somebody with the May I Help You tag on, if you would. Close your eyes. Let's close with a word of prayer. God, I say thank you for this morning. I say thank you for each of the individuals that are here. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless and encourage them. Lord, you are a great and mighty God, and you are able to do great and mighty things in our lives. Lord, I don't know what it is that you are looking for each one of us to break through, but God, I know that if we are followers of Christ, that you have chosen us. And Lord, I know that if we are followers of Christ and we are still here, you are not done with us. And God, just as you took a building that used to be a hardware store and turned it into a place that changes the lives of people, used to sell tools that fixed people, that fixed broken things, but rather now, Lord, it is a building that uses a tool of the gospel of Jesus Christ to fix broken lives. Lord, we pray. We ask, Lord, that you would be at work in our lives, that we may be a people that bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen.
Would you stand and